Front Page Dramas present The Gypsy Murder Case, a dramatization of the ninth story in the thrilling detective series now being featured in the American Weekly under the title of The Return of Ashton Wolfe. Every week, more and more people join the millions of American Weekly readers who are enjoying not only this masterful series of detective stories, but all the other fine stories, articles, and feature fiction that have made the American Weekly the nation's reading habit. For greater reading pleasure during these winter weekends, insist on the Hearst Sunday newspaper that gives you the American Weekly. And now to Ashton Wolfe's Gypsy Murder Case.
Merci, monsieur. This case is so baffling and complicated that the only way to tell it coherently is to reconstruct it for you. Let us begin at the beautiful country home of Dr. Fentoul, the eminent scientist who became wealthy in the discovery and manufacture of poison gases used by the French War Department. It is early evening, and in the room of Daphne, Dr. Fentoul's daughter...
There's no use your denying it, Daphne. You know why I'm here.
I know nothing of the kind. Except that he has been behaving like a fool ever since that wretched little gypsy girl set foot on the place this afternoon. The way you flirted and chased after her was positively revolting.
Daphne, you're an idiotic, jealous little fool.
That is a nice compliment, coming from the man one is engaged to marry.
That is the only reason why I'm here, Daphne. As your fiancée, it is my duty to protect you.
Don't be ridiculous, Hugo. Protect me from what?
Scandal. An outraged public opinion. And if you refuse to trust in me and tell me the truth, a murder charge.
Good heavens, Hugo. What's come over you? Have you gone completely mad?
No, but I think you have. It may interest you to know, Dr. Daphne Fentoul, that the wretched little gypsy girl you spoke of a moment ago was taken violently ill after she left your stepmother's garden party and died while being rushed to the hospital.
Oh, but that is most unfortunate. But, Dr. Hugo, why accuse me of her murder? What did I have to do with it?
The doctors say it is suspiciously like a case of poison, something you experiment with a great deal in at your horticultural laboratory. In fact, she had eaten grapes that came from your hothouse.
Oh, how interesting. And did any of the other 50 people who attended the garden party and ate my grapes with great relish die of poisoning this evening?
No, they did not, for the simple reason that you weren't jealous of them.
Oh.
You hadn't falsely accused any of them of having an affair with me.
Oh. Thank you, Hugo. That was a very pretty speech. But to get back to your ridiculous murder charge, does it not appear very strange that out of a dozen huge bowls filled with bunches of grapes, that I could secret one bunch filled with poison, and while 50 other people picked them over, this one little gypsy fortune teller should select of her own volition the one bunch I had prepared solely for her? Why? Preposterous.
Well, it's so preposterous that the police are going to investigate.
I shall be very glad to answer any charges the police may see fit to bring against me. But I will not submit to any of your idiotic accusations. And now leave my room at once.
Very well, Daphne. If that's the way you feel about it, good night.
Oh, one thing more, Hugo. I am not the only one who suspects you of having an affair with the little gypsy fortune teller.
Oh, no?
No.
Who else?
Her dark-eyed gypsy sweetheart suspected you and forbid the girl to come near this house. And if you don't believe me, ask my stepmother.
What has she to do with it?
Oh, my stepmother is very fond of the girl. And she had quite a hard time hiring her for the garden party. The girl told my stepmother why her sweetheart had forbidden her to come here. So perhaps instead of trying to protect me, you'd better start protecting me. Yes. Enough.
The reason I called you in, Wolf, was to get your complete report on the death of that gypsy girl, this man's sweetheart.
Yes, I have investigated with the utmost thoroughness, Dr. Locar. The most searching analysis fails to disclose the least trace of any poisonous substance in the unfortunate girl's stomach.
No one else at the garden party suffered any ill effect?
No, sir. It has been suggested that while the girl was gathering herbs, she had probably quite unintentionally gotten some deadly nightshade plant mixed with them.
Mm-hmm.
Transferred a little of the juice to her lips. The coroner ordered a verdict of accidental death.
That closes the case, then.
No, accident, bah. I call her Petrul Engro, Roman Rhi and Romani Chal. I say they killed my mother, my beautiful Romani Chi. They gave her grapes full of poison. It was that doctor dog.
No,
maker of poisons himself who poisoned her. She's dead. If you detectives don't come and get him, I swear I'll cut out his black heart with this great knife.
My poor man, I sympathize with you and your loss. But believe me, if your sweetheart had really been murdered, I solemnly promise we would have brought the guilty person to justice. But I assure you, there has been no crime committed. Now go quietly and keep the peace, or I shall have to lock you up.
If Kyle go, but I will not keep peace.
Well, I thought that closed the case of the gypsy poisoning. And as things were quiet, I began to enjoy a few evenings of rest. But one evening after dinner... Hello, Ashton Wolfe speaking.
There's been more trouble at Dr. Fintoul's home, Wolfe. It's a ghastly business this time. The whole family has been poisoned.
Mon Dieu.
Get ready. I'll call for you in 10 minutes in my car.
Yes, Madame Fintoul is dead. Dr. Fintoul himself has been rushed to the hospital. Mademoiselle Daphne, his daughter, is seriously ill. That gypsy, Collar Petulengro, was found prowling the grounds and has been arrested.
Ah, Collar. He was the sweetheart of the gypsy girl who died a week or so ago, eh?
Yes.
You think he's tried to get his revenge?
I don't know what to think. But here we are. We shall soon find out. Ah, that looks like the American doctor now.
Hey, I'm very glad you have come, gentlemen. I am Dr. Hugo Black, Dr. Fintoul's assistant.
Yes, the American. You live here with the family. You can tell us what happened. I am Lucard.
Yes, Dr. Lucard. Will you please step inside?
Oh, thank you.
This way, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Yes. Now, Dr. Black, tell us what happened.
Well, we had dinner as usual. Madame Fintoul, Daphne, her daughter, and myself.
Yes?
Dr. Fintoul had gone to Paris on business. But was expected back later in the evening.
Nothing happened during dinner, eh?
Immediately after dinner, I went back to the laboratory. Shortly after 8 o'clock, the gardener burst in to tell me something terrible had happened. I ran toward the house as I heard screams and a mad hysterical laughter.
Who was making that laugh, the gypsy?
No, but I saw him running across the lawn and ordered him to halt. Leaving him in charge of the gardener, I came in here and found Dr. Fintoul hysterical. He had come home and actually tripped over his wife's body on the threshold of her room. Half crazy, he rushed to Daphne's room to find her tossing and moaning and delirium.
I see then it was the terrible shock that upset Dr. Fintoul. He was not poisoned.
No, I telephoned an ambulance and called the police at once. Fearing for Dr. Fintoul's reason while he remained in the house, I had him rushed to the hospital for observation. Miss Daphne's condition was so serious, it was thought best not to move her.
They were poisoned, of course. But have you any idea as to the nature of the poison?
No, the symptoms are the same, apparently, as in the case of the gypsy girl.
Poison in the food or drink, eh?
That was my first idea. But I had eaten the same food, and so had the servants. But we are all right.
Wolf, question the servants, if you please.
Yes, I will.
Collect samples of the food. Have Dr. Maupert hold a special autopsy, and have our laboratory experts check everything thoroughly.
Yes, I will.
Now, for this gypsy, Collar Petulengro.
You needn't glare at me. I am no assassin like them. I was in the garden merely because I've been watching them, trying to prove which one of this devil's brood killed my poor Nada. But the curse has come home to them. It's a judgment. A judgment! A judgment!
Well, we all worked like demons for a solution to the strange poisoning. First, we learned that on the afternoon before the murder, two old gypsies, the father and mother of Calor Petulengro, had visited the house on the pretense of telling fortunes for the servants. Mademoiselle Daphne discovered them and chased them off the place.
Then my laboratory experts found some of the grapes grown in Mademoiselle Daphne's experimental hothouses had been tampered with.
Yes. Yes, there was a brown stain and a hole made in the stalk of some bunches of grapes, as though someone had injected something into the grapes through the stem with a hypodermic needle. But we could find no trace of the poison.
But, armed with that evidence, and taking the two old gypsies with us, we went back to Dr. Fintoul's house.
Mademoiselle Daphne had recovered somewhat from her narrow escape and was waiting for us with her fiancé, Dr. Hugo Black. The moment Daphne laid eyes on the old gypsies, she screamed...
The other ones, they were here. The day of the murder. Call the servants. They will identify them.
There is no need for that.
Oh, you hear? They admit it. They admit the murder. Hugo here really loved that gypsy girl. He was prepared to give her up his career, reputation, everything to run away and marry her.
And you believe these two people poisoned the girl Nada because she was breaking her vow of marriage to their son?
Certainly. That is the gypsy law.
Neither a Romany chief nor his son does murder. Even now, my son lies in prison for another's crime. We came, this old, wise woman and I, to prove his innocence in a way the police would understand. And because the young American doctor wished us to come.
We know this place is cursed by an evil spirit working in that woman there. She murdered my son's future wife, Nada the Beautiful, because the doctor there loved her. And this she-devil was jealous. She poisoned her father's second wife because her heart was full of hatred for the second wife. Did not the police discover nothing strange in anything the devil girl's victims ate?
She means in the grapes. The injection by the needle.
Grapes? Oh, the grapes. Nurse, bring the dish there on the buffet. Those injections you talk about are made indeed by a hypodermic needle. A solution is injected, recent development to preserve them. And the solution is perfectly harmless. Poison. Oh, I'll show you how poisonous they are. I'll eat them.
Permit me, mademoiselle, to hand them to you. There. This bunch is full and ripe.
Good. This test should be enough to convince you. There. I've eaten them. And now will you arrest those two murderers?
Wait, wait, she-devil. There is time.
You tricked me, Hugh. Hugo, you found the secret of my catalyzer and put these two up to this. You dogs have murdered me as surely as I murdered your cursed Nadia and the others. Oh, mon Dieu. I thought the poison that I'd taken had been entirely eliminated from my body.
Yes, she is dead. But it is lucky for us she told us what she did. Now, we might never have known what really happened.
Yes. What did she mean, however, by the catalyzer?
Yes, the catalyzer. Who thought she could be so cunning? There are certain poisons which can be administered in such minute quantities that they cannot be detected, and no ill effects will follow.
So shall I see it now. But when you follow this poison with another, a catalyzer, a, shall we say, booster, an energizer, within a certain time, the original poison strength or power is multiplied a thousand times and becomes truly deadly.
That's it, exactly. Daphne administered the first poison to her victims in food or wine.
Sir.
Then followed it up with the catalyzer or booster or second poison, which was in the preservative injected into the grape.
Yes, of course. I follow her method. In order to make quite sure she would not be suspected, she had taken a very small quantity of the poison herself and just enough of the catalyzer to make her sick also. Exactly. And when she ate the grapes, with the catalyzer just now, she evidently believed the first poison she had taken had by this time been entirely eliminated from her system.
Exactly. A most fatal mistake.
No. No, a judgment.
Perhaps. Well, this certainly has been a new type of crime in my experience. And I hope the very special knowledge it requires to perform it will make such a crime very rare.
So voilà, monsieur. That is the story of the gypsy murder case. Of course, there is much more detail in my original report, which I call The Mystery of the Second Poison.
Oh, yes, and that complete story, The Mystery of the Second Poison, is to be featured in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.